So today we are blessed to have Chris Rice as our guest preacher. So I started out reading the blurb on the back of Chris's book, latest book, and then went to his website because, I was trying to be thorough. And I would have been up here for 20 minutes just telling you all about Chris. His Reading through his stuff made me tired. I don't know how you did it all, Chris. I am in awe of your work and your accomplishments over the years. And my impression is that Chris has been involved in community peace building on many different levels all of his adult life, and it may have even started before then. He lived in Mississippi for 17 years in a community whose focus was church-based Christian community development. And I think it was through his relationship with John Perkins, through the Calvary, the Voice of Calvary, that I think Helen got to know Chris, and they've been friends for a long time. He earned his MDiv and DMin from Duke Divinity and co-founded and directed the Duke Divinity School Center for Reconciliation, which our own Nina Balmaceda now directs, which is a very cool connection. He has served with Mennonite Central Committee, also known as MCC, in South Korea, and was instrumental in trying to create conversations between North and South Koreans. He was director of the United Nations Office of MCC in New York City. He's co-authored two books, and his latest book, From Pandemic to Renewal: Practices for a World Shaken by Crisis, is one that the RMC Tuesday Women's Group studied a couple of years ago, read and talked about. Very good book. And after all of that, Chris is retired, and he probably deserves retirement. Living in Durham, I'm assuming enjoying it. I would imagine it's a slower pace and a quieter life. And so we really appreciate you taking the time to come and speak to us. So if you'd come forward. God, we pray that your spirit guides Chris's words, and that our hearts are open to receive. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's a great joy to be with you this morning. I had forgotten that this was Nina's church, Nina and Roberto. They're really dear friends of ours. My wife Donna is here. Donna, if you could stand up. It's a joy to have Donna here. We had the joy of serving 5 years with MCC as representatives for Northeast Asia, based in South Korea. And then before moving back to Durham, 6 years in New York City, where Donna served as a hospice nurse, including the front lines during COVID. And then I served at the UN office. But those 11 years with MCC and also meeting Mennonites in Mississippi, we feel like we've kind of been adopted by Mennonites. We could even play the Mennonite game pretty well. If you don't know what the Mennonite game is, ask one of the real Mennonites in this church. And it's really a joy to see Helen. I had to get in line to see Helen. She's world famous in Raleigh. We love you, Helen. Mary has chosen what is better. Friends, we're in deeply challenging times. A bit apocalyptic are words that come to mind. As we resist, as we are not silent, as we live the alternative, work for a new reality of hope, how do we go the long haul in such a time as this? Peace and justice is not an engineering project. It's often one step forward and two steps back. Progress isn't guaranteed. Anxiety and burnout can become a real challenge. Byung-Chul Han is a philosopher born in Korea and based in Germany. And Han writes that every age has its signature afflictions. He says ours is the age of the burnout society. Burnout is depression, hopelessness, exhaustion. He says our age has become captive to the illusion that the more active one becomes, the freer one is. Captivity to activity. I faced a time like this earlier in my life. For many years, Donna and I were part of a racial healing work in Mississippi. And it was so meaningful. We made it through a racial crisis in our church. We shared life as white people and black people, living in the same neighborhood together, worshiping in the same church, side by side doing community development and justice. A smaller group of us began an intentional Christian community named Antioch. Blacks and whites, families and singles, sharing households, meals, money, daily life. We offered hospitality to men who had just left prison, young people facing challenges in our neighborhood. And I became very close with a black man named Spencer Perkins, and we did national racial healing work together. But after 12 years, we were exhausted. And Spencer and I faced a crisis in our relationship that we could not solve. We ran out of vision and energy. Our relationships were broken. The joy was gone. We were in crisis, and our idea of change had become trying harder and doing more. And friends, that is not the good news of the gospel. But we had no idea how to be liberated from captivity to activity. We invited a mentor to come and advise us in our crisis. His name was John Alexander. He was a pastor from San Francisco. And John listened to us for several days. And when he met with me, he told me that in my broken relationship with Spencer, I was mostly at fault. And that was not the advice that I was looking for. John called us all together. He gave a diagnosis of our problem. And he asked us a question. What does the Bible talk about more, loving God or loving neighbor? I thought that was a trick question. How can you separate the two? Jesus said the two greatest commandments are to love God, love your neighbor. It's in the Luke text. And John said, there are many Bible verses about loving God. There are many about loving neighbor. But he said the Bible tells a far more important story. God's love for us. The most important thing, said John, is not trying harder to love God or love others. It's getting God's love into our bones. And John gave us a warning. If you don't get God's love into your bones, you will become dangerous people, especially activists like you. At the heart of our life of constant, faithful activism was Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan in the Gospel of Luke. Thank you for that beautiful way of presenting the story. And in the story, we see the Samaritan on the road to Jericho, rescuing, seeing a man who's been robbed and beaten. It's a story about going out of our way for the suffering stranger. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. We cannot know God without a life of extravagant action, hospitality, justice. But only after the crisis did I see that this is not the end of Luke's story. Right after telling it, he goes to the town of Bethany, to the homes of sisters Mary and Martha. And Martha, of course, so busy in the kitchen, so occupied. And meanwhile, there's Mary, wasting time, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to the Lord. And Mary's so upset. And here's the gentle reply of Jesus. Martha, Martha, you are worried, upset about many things, but only one thing is needful. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. The Good Samaritan story is about allowing our lives to be interrupted by the stranger by the side of the road. And we can't know Jesus without a spirituality of extravagant justice. Bethany is a story about our lives being interrupted by extravagant devotion. Extravagant action cannot be separated from extravagant stillness. In this time of anxiety, of burnout, what does extravagant stillness look like? How do we get God's love into our bones? God gives gifts to get God's love into our bones. I want to name three gifts. The first, contemplative rhythms. After that Mississippi crisis, I was a bit shocked to realize during 17 years of intense life and work, I never once took time away to be alone, to be still, to pray. I'm talking about extended time away. It was as if I read the Bible and the psalmist said, be busy and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God, not you. One rhythm of stillness that keeps me rooted in joy instead of demands is regular times at retreats, centers, and monasteries. And I've learned I need at least two nights away to detox, detox from all the noise that seems like that's what's most significant. Life easily becomes a mile wide in frantic activity and an inch deep in clarity and peacefulness. Through rhythms of stillness over time, our roots go deeper, our lives are more fruitful. A second gift that God gives to get God's love into our bones. So many times in the New Testament, the phrase love one another is mentioned. It's like a new verb, one anothering, one anothering. We need companions who get God's love into our bones. And we need to do that for others, to one another, each other. During my years working at Duke University at the Center for Reconciliation, I worked very closely with Emmanuel Katongole, who's a Catholic priest from Uganda. We were drawn into common mission together as Catholic and Protestant, American and African scholar and practitioner. We knew that starting a center was going to be a monumental task, and we might fail. But we made a promise to each other. No matter what, we were going to have fun along the way. We would take time to play. We'd take time to laugh. And earlier in our work in Uganda, we organized a major gathering of African leaders. This was in partnership with MCC, by the way. The first day was really challenging. So many painful stories were shared. I could still remember those stories, still resonate with me. But late that night, after everyone was in bed, Emmanuel and I went outside of our guest house and sat down, beautiful evening, and we debriefed the day. And over a couple hours, we reflected on those stories that we heard. We organized for the next day. But we also spent a good deal of time laughing and enjoying each other, and maybe even enjoying a bit of beer. Well, the next morning at the beginning of the session, we invited participants to stand and name gifts from the previous day. So many times we start by naming challenges, but beginning with naming gifts, we see how hope is also at work. And a participant from Rwanda stood up to share. Her name was Josephine Munyeli. Josephine is a wonderful person. She's also a survivor of the Rwandan genocide. She has suffered much pain in her life. And Josephine told the group, "I want to name the gift of the organizers of this gathering. Last night I couldn't sleep because Chris and Emmanuel were laughing so loud outside my room." Later, we're going to sing a song that was written by Josephine with an MCC worker named Rebecca Mosley. And they have been companions who put joy into one another. John Alexander's visit inspired a breakthrough of healing in our Mississippi community. We began to talk about what does it mean to replace our culture of demands with one another, with a culture of grace. And John gave us a task. "Here's what matters now," he said. "Caring for each other, forgiving each other, and make sure you keep the dishes washed." That's how we one another, each other. Finally, a third gift from God that gets God's love into our bones, Sabbath rest. Taking a week or taking a day every week for worship, for play, feasting, letting go of the to-do list, putting aside the cell phone, fasting from social media, from news. I highly recommend it in large doses. Listen to philosopher Byung-Chul Han. "The Sabbath is a word that means stopping. It's a day of not to, a day free of care. And after God created it, God declared the seventh day holy. That is, the day of in order to is not sacred, but rather the day of not to, a day of time without work, a time for play, a time of peace." Jesus honors Mary for her stillness. And in the face of so much that does need to be done, when we take time to be still to one another, to practice Sabbath, we declare there really is a difference between God's action and ours. It's easy for my life, for our lives, to become cluttered by so many things that stand in the way of joy. And when the demand, the must, the have to takes control, that becomes captivity to activity. Then when we root ourselves in God's immense love for each of us, for this world, we bear witness to a better way of changing this world. The antidote for anxiety is not trying harder and doing more. It's not becoming more active that makes us freer. It is marching for peace and justice with more of God's explosive love in our bones. God's response to burnout is belovedness. Amen.